With the Lord's help, I'd like to read this afternoon from 1 Samuel chapter 26. I'd like to read the entire chapter. First Samuel 26, this chapter contains the last contact, I believe, between David and Saul. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose, and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, or his head. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, therefore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awaked. For they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, Answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept the Lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy Lord. This is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go, serve other gods. Now, therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day, behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, Behold, the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in my eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. I've read the entire chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may we all bow in prayer. This is the end of Saul's chasing David. Saul would not chase David any longer after this encounter. Have you ever been chased, or did you ever feel that you were being followed? It is not an experience that is enjoyable. It's scary. There's threatening. It's a fearful experience. Sometimes you can be followed by something that's not so scary, not threatening, and you don't feel any urge to get away. But if the threat level is increased, then the desperation to escape also increases. And David is in a situation. It's not a small threat. Saul is coming to him with 3,000 warriors. And they are encamping, and they've been pursuing him, actually for a considerable amount of time. Yet he makes a choice. He makes a choice not to retaliate. This is a teaching that comes to us in the scripture, and even Jesus has taught us to love our enemies. And when we are hit on one cheek, to give the other in return. We are taught in the scripture to overcome evil with good, and not to be overcome of evil. And so this choice that David makes is a very good one, because it is grounded in the scripture. But its basis comes from his faith. He believed that God would take care of him, that God would work all things out with his enemies and those that were around him, that the Lord would sort things out according to his will. He took this very difficult situation and he turned it over to the Lord. We find ourselves in situations, some threatening, some not so threatening, but it is the human nature to seek to overcome, to seek to repay. But this is not what Jesus Christ has done, and not the example that he left for us. So when we find ourselves in threatening situations, and our faith is tested, what will our decision be? How will we repay the unkind word, the unkind action, the slight from those who we thought maybe were our friends? The choice is ours. Our situations are probably 99% nowhere near what David was going through right now. He is being pursued by the king, someone in authority, someone that could kill him with his army. His life was on the line. He was on the run. He wasn't living at home. And yet, he expresses to Saul and asks him, "What did I do wrong? How did I hurt you?" He's innocent. And isn't that how we often feel when we have been threatened? That we didn't do anything wrong. And sometimes that's true, and sometimes that's not. But David, really, he did not do anything evil to Saul. And he could say that honestly. David talks about Saul as the Lord's anointed. And truly, Saul was anointed as king. But David was also anointed. And Saul was pursuing David because he feared that David would take the throne. And Jonathan, Saul's son, would not be king after Saul died. But the Lord had chosen David. And so he had every right to claim the throne. And sometimes when people are opposing and hurtful towards us, they might feel like they have a right to something. David had a right to claim the throne. Think of Jesus. Think of how he came and what he could have asked, what was rightfully his when he spoke to his people who received him not. He could have expected and asked them to give their obedience and their allegiance to him, but he did not come to force, even though it was his right. And sometimes people are fighting against us when we are in the right. And we think we have a reason to fight back or to speak out. David did. Much more, Christ would have had that authority. But when Christ gave his life, it says that he went to the slaughter as a sheep, quiet, meekly, without a word. It's an amazing character that is displayed in this situation. Saul, on the other hand, he was not guiltless. He was throwing spears and darts at David when he was serving in his home. In this pursuit, David had found himself in a city that had a gate and bars, and Saul relished the opportunity and said, "God has delivered my enemy into my hands," having put him into a city with bars and gates so that he could trap him. He was thinking that God was on his side, in cornering David. What an evil and wicked way to view God. And so this is a very unfair situation. And a lot of the reasoning in this world would say David had a good excuse to get some payback when he had the opportunity. Take the opportunity that opens itself up to you. Don't deny yourself anything. But David is practicing self-denial and trust in the Lord. So when David hears that Saul is pursuing him and they had camped out in a place that was not too far from where they were, David and two of his generals went to see where they were, and they see this crowd of people, 3,000 soldiers, and in the middle of them is Saul and Abner, the captain of Saul's host, and they're in the middle, surrounded by all of the soldiers, all of the guards, and they're sleeping. They're vulnerable. And it would be very easy for them to take advantage of the situation. But it was risky to go in there because there's 3,000 soldiers around them. But God provided a way that they were all in a deep sleep. And David and Abishai came to them by night. And they're discussing, what are we going to do? Have you ever told someone about an injustice that was done to you? And you begin discussing the situation. And you find out that that person is now suffering. And you have an opportunity to catch them in a vulnerable moment. What is the discussion like? How will you handle this? Some people will advise, take advantage of the situation. And that was Abishai's advice. The spear was right there. Saul was right there. There was quietness in the camp. Everyone was sleeping. It was time. And he pleaded with David. David, you don't even have to do it. Let me take vengeance for you. Well, how convenient. But David made a choice. His choice was, I will not seek vengeance. There's a lot of overlap between this story and what we read about the Thessalonians this morning. How they were persecuted, and they were encouraged and commended for their growth in faith towards the Lord, and charity towards one another. To be a light that does not seek to return evil for evil. But he would do one thing. He would ask Abishai to take the spear from near his head and the cruse of water, as a sign that he had an opportunity to do evil. And then he simply took those away and went to a hill far away to speak with them, to put on display that there was opportunity for taking vengeance, but he withheld. He did not do it. And he speaks and calls out to Abner, the captain of the host, and calls him out for not guarding his master. And Saul recognizes his voice. And he speaks kindly to him and calls him my son David. And David pleads with him. David recognizes that humanly speaking, he is at great disadvantage. He even becomes vulnerable to Saul in expressing how he feels, or how it might appear that the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, something small, insignificant. Or when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains, he's like a sitting duck, we might say today. He's not coming at Saul with threatenings. He's not saying, if you come in any closer, I am going to do this or that. But he's showing meekness and showing that he is not a threat. When we forgive one another for harms and injustices that occur, we take the loss of what had happened. And we don't desire or seek to inflict any pain or hurt on the other person, but would rather desire to reconcile. And so with this spirit, David approaches the situation. And this is the choice that he has made. Saul says, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And these are the words of a man. And he has spoken these words before. And he cannot be trusted. And so rather than trusting Saul and going back, he commits himself to the Lord's care. He doesn't need to be a king. He doesn't need to be in the palace. He doesn't need the comforts of the army. He'd rather be in the wilderness with his men than be aligned with this king that had left God. And that's the same for us, or it's very similar for us. We can think about the positions of power and prestige that we think would be an advantage to us. But this is before that David became king. He did not need to be king to be faithful, to seek the heart of God, to be God's follower, and to reflect the wisdom of Jesus Christ, as we see him doing. We don't need great positions of authority or influence. We have the Word. Scripture teaches us, follow this example, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. As much as it depends upon you, with everything that you have within you, pursue peace. Turn away from evil. Seek the good. Seek blessing for those who want to harm you. This choice that David made in the moment it was based on his faith, and that was not something that was developed in the moment but had taken time to grow and was nurtured by his love for the Lord. And that is the same for us today. The choices that we make in the heat of the moment of temptation or accusation or hurt, they come as a result of the groundwork that we have laid in nurturing our faith. When you go and read through the Psalms, let's just take a look at two or three of them. Let's turn to Psalm 35. You will find this theme of David pleading to the Lord for help against an enemy. There were many psalms that David wrote in this period of his life when he was being pursued, when he was being chased. the thoughts and the prayers and the meditations of David, the things that were going through his mind, reflect the reality of his situation, but also reflect his faith and confidence that God would take care of Saul, that God would take care of the ones that were giving Saul information about where he was staying. Read the words of Psalm 35. Let's read them together. And then we'll turn to maybe Psalm 56. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. It's not our place to seek vengeance, but to give place to wrath, to leave it to the Lord to take care as he sees fit. For often our judgment is very clouded, but God sees perfectly. And he continues, take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Remind me, Lord, speak to me and remind me that you are my salvation. It wasn't his sword in his hand. It was the Lord at work. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. It wasn't David that was going to chase them. If the Lord chose to do it, it would be him. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. This verse reminds me of Jesus in what he endured when it says that they hated me without a cause. And I think about my very meager inconveniences and the slights that are so small but ruin my day and perhaps even anger me. And I'm humbled. And I'm brought back to a better perspective to remember what Jesus went through and how he responded. He continues, let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. Again, speaking of David's trust and his self, his perception of self that was like a flea or a sitting duck, the weak and the poor that needs the Lord for help. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. The words of Jesus come to our mind when we read these Psalms. And truly, we can say that David was one that, though not a perfect example, He was one that was after God's own heart. We can read in other psalms. For Psalm 56 and 57, written around these times. One was written when Saul was in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. David believed these things. He believed that God was true. He believed that God was good. And that all things that would happen to him were fully within his keeping. And that is how he could make the choice not to retaliate. Because he trusted. He truly believed that God was going to perform and help him. Truly, for us, we need to take that to heart. To truly believe that all things work together for the good of them that trust in God and are called according to his purpose. And if he should spare our earthly bodies of deliverance, we have a better home that we would be going to quicker. So what can the world do to you that God cannot spare you and help you from? He longs for all of our hearts and full trust and obedience. And I am also so impressed, I guess you could say, humbled, taught by David's choice. It didn't come to him when he was alone, but his friend was telling him to do the opposite. His peer was telling him, don't follow this way. Yet he purposed in his heart, he settled in his heart that he would not sin against God. And it didn't matter what his peers said, he was settled. And perhaps it was those many nights of thinking about God's salvation and the deliverance that he had provided and realizing and coming, yes, God's way is the very best way for me. And the next time I encounter an opportunity to take advantage of somebody else's vulnerability, I'll pass it up. I'll leave it in the Lord's hands. Next challenge that I face, I'll give it to the Lord. He can take far greater care of it than ourselves. May we all find a blessing in the example that David gives that points to Jesus Christ, that we would follow in his steps. May God bless his word. Amen.
It wasn't long after this time that Saul was pursuing David, that Saul died. And the Bible says that he fell upon his own sword, and that sword went through his own heart. And so a few psalms were referenced this afternoon, 35 and 30, and 56, 57. But I'd also like to refer to Psalm 37. And it speaks to David and his life and that which he had experienced in his life. He writes, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." We ought not to be fearful when others are pursuing us injustly. And it says, "For they soon shall be cut off like the grass and wither as the green herb." And so it was with King Saul. He was soon cut off, and he withered. In that same Psalm 37, it says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." King Saul died. The Lord saw to it. Then it continued, "And the wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth." That was King Saul. He was pursuing David. He was plotting against him. It says, "But the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart." And so it was. So it was. King Saul, his sword came into his own heart. Perhaps that same sword that David took from him and returned it to his young servant. And so it takes us that we would live in the Spirit and that we would walk in the Spirit, that we would be as King David was. For if we have an instance in our lives where an injustice happens against us, our carnal flesh rises quickly. We have to confess that. We have to be able to say that's what typically happens. But we have to walk in the Spirit, and we have to be patient, and we have to wait on the Lord. And he will provide in a way that's far greater than what we could do of ourselves. And so going back here to Psalm 37, there are a few things that we are being taught that we should do when we are in such instances. Rest in the Lord, trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way to the Lord, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself to in any wise to do evil. This is our response to when an injustice happens against us. It takes grace. It takes leaning on the Spirit. It takes waiting on the Lord. But he will do marvelous things, and his will be done. And ultimately, God will get the glory, as just as it happened here in David's time. God got the glory. May we live our lives in such a manner that God gets the glory at all times. Amen.